Jeremiah chapter 14, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 7, and then take verse 7 as the verse from which we will take our thoughts this morning. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth, the plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail, because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. This morning I want to consider the topic, sin is a tattletale. But before we go any further, let's just ask the Lord to bless us. Father in heaven, now we would pray that you will bless the word of God. We pray that thou wilt use it in our hearts to draw us, to teach us, to encourage us, to correct us, to do the things that are needful that we might be useful for the sake of Christ. We would also pray that you will do it in our hearts, that great work, so that we might be able to worship and love and adore and go on with our God better than we have. Oh Lord, we pray that you will meet with us and allow your word to be used of the Spirit of God to draw us into thy presence and to speak directly to us so that we would know indeed that we have heard the voice of our God. Help me now as thy servant direct thought and word. I pray that you will allow us a time with yourself now, for we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus over this time. And we pray it in his name and for his sake. Amen. In our reading this morning, we are given three pictures that describe the condition of life that comes when a people or a person has played with sin and is guilty before God. First, you have the picture of the servant children that are sent to fetch water. They go to the spring with their buckets, but there is no water. And they are forced to return to their masters with empty buckets. The scripture says that they are greatly ashamed and cover their heads in deep humiliation. That's a pretty strong reaction, you would think. Just to go to the well or the spring and find no water there, and you come back with an empty bucket, that you would hang your head in shame and count it as a source of great humiliation. Why such words as that? Well, I think the point is, here is a picture of failure and loss. What was supposed to be helpful and a blessing is nothing. This is the Lord's metaphor of what false and deceitful living comes to. Sin will show its emptiness. There's the point. It will show failure. It will bring shame. As I was thinking about that very point, those words from Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, popped up in my mind. Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Like empty buckets cannot fake water in them, so sinful lives cannot fake righteousness. There's the imagery here. You go, you come back empty, you can't fake it. You've failed, there is loss. It is plain to see. Sin is a tattletale. The second picture that is offered is that of the dry and parched ground. And because the ground is so barren and windswept, there is no way to grow anything of any worth. Now there's the point. Unable to grow anything of any worth. You know, the image I think that you have here in this section would be very much like that perhaps of the Dust Bowl days of the 1930s. Maybe you're familiar with that if you remember your history, what that was like. I got a little older here recently, but I'm not old enough to remember that. Perhaps you've seen things in newsreels. The winds were like hurricane-forced winds, but of course there was no rain in it. It was just wind, high, dry heat that actually took the ground and pulled the ground up and created big, huge dust storms so intense that no matter how you tried, the dust would blow into your house, get through all your things. You open a jar of or your can of sugar or something like that, and you find there's all dust in it along with your sugar. You can't sweep it up enough. You can't get it out of your nose. You can't. It's just constant. I think there's somewhat of a picture like that here. And as a result of the condition of the ground or the condition of fruitlessness, the plowmen spoken of here are ashamed. Again, we'd have to ask the question, why? Why would they be ashamed? And I think the reason is this, that all they were laboring for comes to nothing. Do you understand that that is a result of sin? That's the Lord's metaphor. Emptiness is the first one. Then the second one you have is what you labor for comes to nothing. It brings a man to nothing. And that will be seen. Sin is a tattletaler. Well, then the third picture you have is the Lord offers pictures of animals that are so overwhelmed by no grass that they succumb to starvation. They abandon their young. They lose their ability to even see their way, and they are a sitting prey for the predator. Here's the truth that where there is a lack of righteousness, all dries up and becomes a wasteland. Sin cannot be hid. It is a waster. It is a destroyer. It will leave a man to starve. Again, I say sin is a tattletale. So, why is all this true? That's what I want us to think about. Why is this necessarily so? Why are things this way? What is it that makes sin always seem to show itself plainly? So that is our subject this morning. I've got four things I'm going to refer you to that prove our subject that sin cannot be hid. First, why cannot sin be hidden? Why does it always come out? Why is it always a tattletale? First, God will not let sin remain silent. God will not let sin remain silent. Now, it's an obvious truth that God hates sin. He hates sin. He therefore will not allow sin just to be glossed over and forgotten. Let me give you a picture of this, an illustration of this, an incident of this. Perhaps you remember during the years of Elijah the prophet, there was a king named Ahab. And Ahab was a man who was extraordinarily covetous. You might even just say plain out lustful. He wanted things for himself. He wanted not only vainglory, but he wanted possessions. And perhaps you remember the incident where there was a man who owned a vineyard up close to where Ahab's house was. The man's name was Naboth. And Ahab goes to Naboth and says, "Sell me your vineyard." Naboth says, "No, I can't do that. That's my heritage. My family has owned this for years and decades. I'm not going to do that." And it says that Ahab went home, and being the man of great internal fortitude that he was, he lay down in his bed, turned his face to the wall, and whimpered. Of course, you know that his wife, Jezebel, comes in and says, "Why are you lying there whimpering?" And his comment was, "Because I asked Naboth to sell me his vineyard, and he won't do it." And of course, Jezebel then says, "I'll get it for you," and puts into works that awful crime of killing Naboth by false accusation. And so Ahab arises after all this is done and goes down to the vineyard and claims it for his own. Well, as he's in the vineyard looking it over and glorying in the fact that he now has this, you see a man coming to him. It's sort of interesting that Ahab's reaction at the sight of Elijah coming on the scene was, "There you are, O my enemy. What possibly are you going to say against me now?" Well, of course, Elijah points the finger and says, "You're a criminal and God will judge. You're trying to cover up your sin by doing this secretively, taking this man's vineyard, but God knows about it and it will be seen." You know, it may be the counsel of our heart. In fact, we would even have to say, it's the counsel of ungodly men that sin can be hidden. The thought is, if you're clever enough, you can get away with pretty much anything. The world is full of men who are completely convinced of this and are walking through their days covering up all kinds of evil. But the Lord says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." In other words, he will find no good coming to him. "But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." You cannot cover up sin. God does not allow for that to be done. You might say, why not? Why can we not just get away with sin? Because it is against God. And God doesn't allow that. And if the Lord does not expose our sin in this life, it will be seen in the next. For sin is a tattletale. You say, really? Well, let me just read to you. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Oh, it may seem that we're able to get away with things now in this life, but you never will. God will bring it to light. And if he doesn't do it in this life, which he frequently and often does, he will in the next. God will not let sin remain silent. That is an absolute truth. But there's another reason that I would point you to as to why sin will always show itself. It cannot be hidden, and that is this. Sin is not a commodity that can be hid. I use that word advisedly. What can you hide sin under? It's not like a jewel that can be locked away. You know, men try that all the time, though. They try to cover their tracks, but it doesn't work. Men try to make it seem as if they're completely innocent, though they may be guilty. But it doesn't work. You might say, well, how does that show itself? Well, you know, the scripture gives us an example of something like this. In Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Why is that? If he's got it all covered and there's nothing that can be seen or known, why is it that the wicked would flee though no man is really after them? No man is pointing the finger. No man even knows about what's going on, yet he's still fleeing. The reason for it is sin cannot be driven from your own mind. It cannot be hid. You can't drive it from your mind. You know, that truth haunts many. I say that is a reason that some saints suffer with a lack of assurance. They can't hide their sin, or they still remember their sin, or they remember what they have done, and they think because of that, God still must be holding that against them. But you cannot, there is no place that you can take your sin and lock it away so that it will not be seen. Can't be done. You know, maybe some of us have just read through the book of Joshua. There's an incident that proves this point very plainly. In the first number of chapters, chapter 6, chapter 7 of the book of Joshua, there was a man named Achan who was given the directive of God through the mouth of Joshua that when they opened the walls of Jerusalem and by the power of God and went forward into the city and took the city and slew the people that were there, that they were not to take anything out of that city. God had condemned it all. Of course, we know that Achan did not obey. And it says he saw a Babylonish garment, and he saw some gold and things of that sort, and he took it and hid it in his tent in the ground, underneath the ground inside of his tent. You know, I was thinking about Achan. I think probably, under most people's judgment, Achan probably wasn't your typical criminal type. He wasn't a deeply dishonest sort that cheated others, most likely. But he coveted. He wanted for himself. And he yearned for what he saw. And he took it. And then he tried to hide it. But the point of the matter is, it can't be hidden, because the effects of sin will be seen. And even though no one in the camp could point and say, Achan, you just took a Babylonish garment and you took wedges of gold, and we know that you... Nobody knew any of that, but they knew that there was sin in the camp. It had its effects. It could not be hidden. It showed itself. There is no place where you can hide sin. It will come out. It will be shown. That is a law. Sin is a tattletale. And the only answer for sin is not that we hide it or cover it, it's that it must be taken away. Well, my third thought is this. Why is sin never to be hid? Well, creation was cursed by it, and so lets it be seen. Now, do I mean that the trees and the grass point to the various sins that I have done and points them out particularly? No, but it's interesting that the Lord uses the grass in his pictures, more than once. But I'm not saying that if you walk outside, you're going to have a tree start swaying because you've done something. That's not my point. The sense is that creation reacts to sin that man has brought upon it. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Why is that? Because of the presence of sin. Sin did not just affect Adam and his wife. It affected all of creation. It affected the animals. It affected the plants. It affected everything. Sin shows itself in every area of creation. But that's not my point. My point is this. Perhaps you remember in John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. And he sees there a man that has been laying there for 38 years. 38 years this man has been trying to get down into the waters of that pool when they were stirred by the angel that came, because, of course, as we are told, periodically there would be a stirring of the waters, and the first one that steps down in would be relieved of the malady that he was suffering. And this man says, I can't get there, because as I'm trying, somebody else steps down first, and I've been here 38 years. And the Lord tells him, take up your bed, go your way. But he also says in verse 14 of John chapter 5 that the reason why this man was in the condition that he was because of sin. Because he says, go and sin no more. Now, this is not the only time that this kind of thing occurs, that the malady that a man knows comes upon him because of his sin. In the incident where you have the young man that was let down through the roof by his four friends, the Lord, looking at the young man and having compassion on him, says first to him, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. In other words, to tell them that were in the room, the reason why this young man is in the condition that he's in, the reason why he has his palsy, is because there was something that was in his past that brought upon him the affliction of this malady. You say, well, that's just a couple of isolated incidents. You know, I'll say this. I remember a number of years ago, I went back to New York from where I grew up, and I saw a fellow that I knew from my earliest days, grew up with him, but I hadn't seen him probably in 25, 30 years. And he came, we were both going to a funeral, and he came by, and I could not recognize him. I had heard that he had had some issues, things were going on that were very bad, but I couldn't recognize him. I looked at him, he looked like he was 75 or 80 years old. And maybe you know incidents like this. People who are in sin regularly, you can see it. It wears their face. Their countenance changes. You can't hide it. My point is simply this. That creation, life, and the passing of time cannot cover or prevent the effects of sin from showing itself in you and on you. Everything in the created world is set for the exposure of sin. And it's the devil's lie that you can cover sin. Or may I put it this way? You know, all that God made works for the will of God. The earth is the Lord's and the heavens are the Lord's. All that he has made works for the will, the cause, the glory of God. And all that is in creation will agree with God's verdict of sin. Though all of creation is afflicted by sin's curse. You say, really? The creation is for... Yeah, let me just remind you. When the Lord Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem that one day, and he was riding on the ass's colts, he commented to those who were there, who were telling him, tell these people to be quiet. They're saying, Hosanna and glory to God, and they're praising you. Tell them to be quiet. And he says, listen, if these people did not speak, the very stones would cry out. Now, that's not him saying there would be of necessity a miracle to be done. It's just saying this. All creation knows the Creator. All creation is made for the glory of God. And all creation is in agreement that God is and will be glorified, whether it's this physical earth or whether you even take the firmament and the stars. The psalmist speaks of that. All that is in this world is set to agree with God, and when sin is present, It shows itself. It shows itself on the face of a man. It shows itself in the diseases that we possess within our bodies. It shows itself even in the things that we can see around us. Sin is a tattletale. It shows itself. But now I want to come to my real point. The point that I've been leading up to. And with this we end, actually. The reason why sin cannot be hid is that what Christ died to put away will be put away. The Lord Jesus died to put away sin, and it will be. And I say perhaps here's the greatest reason that sin cannot endure in the heart and life of a believer. Do you understand God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have made a covenant one with another? The Lord Jesus will receive His bride without spot or wrinkle. That is what was covenanted to Him. He will receive a people. They will be His. They are His inheritance. They are His bride. But they will not come to Him bearing the signs of their sin. They will be a people that will be without spot or wrinkle. In other words, it has been covenanted by the Father that sin will be purged out of the people of God. He will not receive a sinfully dirty bride. Now, the Lord Jesus, on His part, paid for the sins of His people when He shed His blood on the cross. He fulfilled His part in the covenant. Then the Father will do the work of His part in cleansing and preparing the bride for His Son. Sin cannot, will not, must not remain in the hearts of those that are given to Christ. The Father will not allow sin to remain, to reign, and to hide itself in the hearts and lives of those that belong to Christ especially. Now there's a statement that Paul makes in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Now that means that sin is not a power that can control the believer. That is absolutely true. But that statement, "sin shall not have dominion over you," also includes the idea that sin cannot hide itself in the heart of the believer. It will be brought to the front and dealt with. It's not going to reign in some dark room of the heart and stay there indefinitely. Sin will be brought forward. God's will, God's way, His power in sanctifying of the people of God and preparing them for Jesus Christ will bring sin out. Sometimes the Lord has to chasten us to bring this about. But He never fails to deal with sin. Now, as I was thinking on that point, a question came to my mind, because I've heard people actually even ask this. What if there is some sin that I did not and have not confessed and forgot about it? Will that linger hidden and the Lord turn His back on me for something that I don't even realize is there? Maybe the Lord's angry with me for something that I don't know what it is. But I see things are not going well. Maybe He's chastening me, but I don't know what the reason is. Is that possible? Again, sin will not have dominion over you. You are not one who is given to its power. You are also not one who is given to its effects. The Lord delivers His people from sin. Let me mention a verse here that Paul offers in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 15, he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," or many as who belong to the Lord, "be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." In other words, Paul is saying, we need to be of a mind like Christ. We need to have the perfect mind, the perfect sense of doing things God's way. We need to be those that are perfect. But if you're not, or if there's something that lingers in your heart that needs to be taken care of, God doesn't just make you guess your way through your spiritual life. Doesn't make you just to, oh, I wonder if there's something there. I hope there isn't. There must be, because there's something that's going wrong. No, the scripture tells us if there's something that God means for you to have dealt with, the Lord will bring it to you. He will put it squarely in front of you, much like when David had his great fall and the prophet Nathan was sent and said, "Thou art the man." He put his finger right in his face, as it were. Our God means to rid us from sin. He means for it not to only control us, but to be hidden in us. And for Jesus' sake, that we might be made prepared for Christ. If there are sins that need to be dealt with, the faithfulness of God, not just to you, but to Christ, will bring it to the front where it can be dealt with. And again, I say, why is this so? Is it just that God is faithful to you? Well, He is faithful to you, but I say that the greater reason is that He's faithful to His Son. God will not allow sin to linger. God will not allow sin to remain hidden in you, because He will be faithful to His Son to prepare you for Christ. So, what's the answer? What's the answer to all of this? If sin cannot remain hidden, why does the Lord bring this subject up, and what does the Lord mean to have done with it? Well, He Himself offers a remedy, though not in Jeremiah's prophecy, in a prophecy that might even be in some ways termed a sister prophecy, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 1, verse 18, the Lord dealing with a people that are rebellious, and just as they were here in Jeremiah's day. He says now, and you know these words, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The Lord says, come, let us reason together. That's an interesting phrase. Let us reason together. In other words, the Lord is saying, let us look at this honestly. Let's get this out in the open. Let's see things as they really are. Let's just be real honest about this. Though your sins may be red like crimson, and that means that they will stain, and the stain cannot be removed by any agency or any act of man. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be like crimson, they can be white as snow. And how is that? The Lord says, if you will confess your sins and turn, He will offer a ready forgiveness. And I want you to hear me. He offers a forgiveness that doesn't wear out. You know, sometimes we get in our minds and we'll come and we'll confess our sins and the Lord will forgive us, but then there's a limit to the forgiveness. It only lasts for a certain amount of time. And then somehow the Lord either remembers that old sin or somehow brings it back into His mind, and we're not forgiven anymore. No, when the Lord forgives, that forgiveness does not wear out. Though your sins are as scarlet and crimson, they will be as white as snow. That doesn't change. That is God's remedy. You say, well, how do you know that? Because you are being given to the Lord Jesus. Forgiveness doesn't wear out for the people of God because you are being given to the Lord Jesus. And the promise to Him is that He will have a bride that is white, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, anything that you can name that would soil the garment of the redeemed. Sin is a tattletale. You can't hide it. You can't get rid of it. It will have its way out. It does, or as we have written here, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, even though they're speaking out against us, they can be put away. They can be put away through the blood of the Lord Jesus and the power of God. May we be those who are ready when the Lord does show us the things that are not pleasing to Him, may we be ready quickly to reason together with the Lord and to do that which He bids us, that we would know the cleansing of the Lord Jesus' blood. Well, amen. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, now I would pray that You will bless the word of God. I pray that You will use it in our hearts. May we realize that we are not those who can deal lightly with sin, pass over sin, hide sin, cover it up. May we be those who realize, though, that when we do come to Thee, that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithful and just to the Lord Jesus, as well as us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we pray that You will help us this day to heed what we are being told. Sin is a destroyer. Sin produces no good. It leaves empty, it leaves barren, it leaves useless those who try to cover. But those who turn to the Lord are healed, cleansed, and made to wear the spotless robes in the way that the Father intends. Lord, I pray that You will now bless this word. Keep us in Thy fear as we go from this place through this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.